الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار ثم أما بعد Very all praise and the glory is due to Allah. It is due to Him and Him alone. We praise Him, we seek His forgiveness, and we ask Him for His mercy. And we testify that there is no God or deity worthy of any type of worship but Allah, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave and final messenger. I want to remind you and myself with the blessed verse in Surah Ali Imran, O you who believe, fear Allah, the fear that He is most deserving of you, and do not die unless you are in the state of Al-Islam. Dear Muslim brother, dear sisters, our topic today is about our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. When talking about our mother Khadija radiallahu anha, we are talking about one of the greatest Islamic figures, one of the best Muslim personalities. And talking about Muslim personalities is part of talking about history. But why history? Why talk about history? Why is it important to talk about history? Most of the Muslim youth today, are suffering from the lack of an identity. They have an identity crisis. Ask the youth about the Prophet of Allah, alayhi salam. Ask them about the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Ask them about the mothers of the believers. And then ask them about superstars, celebrities, singers, actors, football players. You'll find that most of them know everything about these personalities, and they don't know anything about the Muslim personalities, about the prophets or the companions or the mothers of the believers. But the blame is not on the youth only. The blame is on the families. Families need to take their responsibilities. Families need to pay more attention to children and the youth, because the children and youth are the cornerstone of the Muslim Ummah. One famous writer says, if you want to destroy a society, cut off the roots and the tree will dry out and die. Brothers and sisters, if you do not have an attachment to your heritage, if you do not have an attachment to your history, you are nobody. Therefore, it is extremely important, to learn the details of the lives of our heroes. These are our celebrities. These are the ones we want to follow. It is not enough just to know the names. You cannot love a person just because you know his name. You need to learn more. And these people, the more you learn about them, the more you love them. Let's begin our journey with our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. Khadija radiallahu anha was born 68 years before the hijrah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She came from a noble family. Her father was one of the most honored leaders of the tribe of Quraysh. But her father was killed in a battle and leaving a huge inheritance for her, so she was one of the richest women in Quraysh. The house in which our mother Khadija was raised in represented one of the houses of aristocracy in Mecca. She was popular, she was beautiful, she was educated, and the people of Mecca gave her two nicknames. The first one, Sayyidat Nisa Quraysh, the master of the women of Quraysh. The second one, At-Tahira, the pure. And you can see, as Ibn Ishaq mentioned in his seerah, that Khadija radiallahu anha was the most sought after woman in Mecca. Many men were very keen to marry her. She radiallahu anha married twice before the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she remained for some time unmarried after the death of her husband. And during this time, many people proposed marriage to her, but she preferred to occupy herself by the task of bringing up her children and to operate her business. Because I told you, she inherited large inheritance, and the wealthy merchants of Mecca used to send their caravans to Syria and Yemen. During this time, she heard about
She heard about a man named Muhammad ibn Abdullah. She heard about his honesty, his truthfulness, his trustworthiness, and decided to offer him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a chance to trade on her behalf, to operate her business. She entrusted him with some of her wealth, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam accepted her proposal and set out on a journey to Syria. She sent to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam her servant, Maysara. The job of Maysara was to keep an eye on the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to make sure that everything was okay. Maysara noticed that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was different from the people he accompanied before. And he observed things that he never witnessed in his life before. For example, when they approached Syria, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stopped to take some rest and sat under a tree near a place of a monk. The monk came to Maysara and asked him about the man who is resting under the tree. Maysara told him, "This man is so and so, he is from Quraysh, from Al-Haram." The monk said to Maysara, "Ma nazala tahta hadhihi ash-shajara illa nabiy." This one who is resting under the tree is no other than a prophet. Also, Maysara observed that when the heat of the sun was excessive, was fierce, a cloud would appear to shade the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and protect him from the heat of the sun. After the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to Mecca, having sold the goods he took with him to Syria and buying the required ones, our mother Khadija found that her profits were double what they normally were. And Maysara told her about the good manners, good characters of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and told her about the story of the monk and the cloud that shaded the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Khadija radiallahu anha was wise, intelligent, a woman of sound judgment. She realized that a man such as Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with his good character will be the best husband for her. And she sent him a message saying, "Oh my cousin, I conceived a desire to marry you for your nobility, your kinship, and your honesty, your trustworthiness." Khadija in this time, as I told you, was the noblest and richest woman in Mecca. And the people in Mecca blamed her for her choice. She refused the nobles, the leaders, and decided to marry an orphan and a very poor man. But we realized later that she was a woman of sound judgment. She didn't choose the best man in Mecca. No, she chose the best man to ever walk the earth, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet told his uncles about the proposal of Khadija, and they agreed to their marriage. And the marriage took place, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam presented her with a dowry of 20 camels. Their marriage was a blessed one, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was an ideal husband, loyal and kind, and he treated his wife well. And he didn't agree with her in anything that she liked. And she also was an affectionate wife to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and loyal, and she was very eager to please the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to provide ease for him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala completed the blessings on them by the birth of their children. Actually, all the children of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were from Khadija, except one. Ibrahim was from Mary the Copt. They had two sons, Al-Qasim and Abdullah, and four daughters, Zainab, Ruqayya, Umm Kulthum, Fatima. And they lived a peaceful and happy life. 12 years into their marriage, changes began to appear in the life of the Prophet. As Aisha radiallahu anha narrated, أول ما بدأ به رسول الله من الوحي الرؤيا الصادقة. The first thing that started to come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from revelation was the true dreams. The Prophet started to experience dreams that come true in his life. The other thing, ثم حبب إليه الخلاء. ثم حبب إليه الخلاء. The love of seclusion was put in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and we know that the Prophet used to seclude himself from the people in the cave of Hira 4 days, worshipping Allah alone. Ibn Ishaq also narrated something very different and very interesting. He said that while the Prophet ﷺ was walking in the streets of Mecca, and there will be no one around him, and the Prophet would see no one, he hears, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulullah. These were the trees and the stones reading the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sending salawat for him. In the 15th year of the marriage of the Prophet and mother Khadija, seclusion became intense. He used to spend more days in the cave of Hira, take with him his provision, his food, and spend a lot of time without a desire to see his family. And our mother Khadija was very, very supportive of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam during this time. She would climb the mountain to look for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. She would send her servants to look after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make sure that everything was okay for him. During this time, our mother Khadija didn't show any kind of unhappiness to the Prophet. On the contrary, she was, I told you, very, very supportive, and the Prophet would come back to take provision and then return to the cave of Hira. The Prophet ﷺ said, while I was sitting alone in the cave of Hira, the angel Gabriel came to me and he said, Iqra, read. I said, I cannot read. He says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَخَذَنِي فَغَطَّنِي حَتَّى بَلَغَ مِنِّ الْجَهْدِ. He grabbed me, squeezed me, until all of my energy was out of my body. Then he released me and he said, اقرأ. I said, I cannot read. Then he grabbed me for the second time, squeezed me and released me and said, اقرأ. I said, I can't read. Then he grabbed me for the third time, squeezed me until all my energy was out of my body, and he said, اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم. Read in the name of your Lord. Read in the name of your Lord who has created. He has created man from a cloth. Read, and your Lord is the most generous. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam fled the cave of Hira. And on his way down the mountain, he heard a voice saying to him, Ya Muhammad, anta Rasulullah wa ana Jibreel. O Muhammad, you are the messenger of Allah and I am Gabriel. The Prophet looked upwards to the sky and saw Gabriel putting his feet on the horizon, in the form of a man putting his feet on the horizon, saying to him, O Muhammad, you are the messenger of Allah and I am Gabriel. Dear brothers and sisters, this is the turning point in the history of humanity. Scholars say this is the most important moment in history. In this moment, the light started to shine on the world. When ignorance and darkness reached their height, when there was no belief, no religion, when cruelty and oppression prevailed the world, then like day after night, like rain after intense heat, Allah, in His infinite mercy and love to mankind, made Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam His messenger and sent him to lead those astray back to the right path. Sent him as a mercy to all the creation. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned to his wife Khadija, full of fright, his heart trembling with fear. But she was an open-minded woman. She didn't say to him, "What happened? What happened? Are you okay?" No, she was quiet and received him quietly. He said, "Cover me, cover me." Then he said to her, "لقد خشيت على نفسي." I think I lost my mind. Listen to the great words of this magnificent woman. She said to him, "كلا والله لا يخزيك الله أبدا إنك لتصل الرحم وتحمل الكل وتكسب المعدوم وتقري الضيف وتعين على نوائب الحق." No, by Allah, Allah will never ever disgrace you. Why? You keep your family ties. You carry the burden of the weak. You are generous to your guests. You help the poor and the needy. And you help those afflicted with calamity who deserve to be helped. Then she radiallahu anha took him to her cousin Waraqah ibn Nawfal. And Waraqah ibn Nawfal was the most learned man in Mecca. He was Christian. He was not an idol worshiper like the other inhabitants of Mecca. He was the most learned man. And we should learn an important lesson here, that we should refer our affairs to the people of knowledge, to the people of sound judgment. She said to Waraqah, "Listen to the story of your nephew." When the Prophet ﷺ told Waraqah about what he had seen, Waraqah said to him, "هذا هو الناموس الذي كان يأتي موسى." This is the angel that used to come to Moses عليه السلام. "يَا لَيْتَنِي فِيهَا جَذَعَ يَا لَيْتَنِي فِيهَا جَذَعَ." I wish I was young and could live to the day when your people drive you out. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "أَوَمُخْرُجِيهُمْ will they drive me out?" He said, "Yes, anyone who came with something similar to what you have brought, was treated with hostility. And I hope that I live to the day they drive you out and I would support you strongly." But after a few days, Waraqah died and the revelation stopped for a while. The time when the revelation stopped was very hard time for the Prophet ﷺ. But our mother Khadija used to give him self-confidence, assuring him that he is the prophet of this nation. The first verses that revealed to the Prophet ﷺ after the revelation stopped was, "Ya ayyuha al-muddathir qum fa'anzir." "O you enveloped in your garments, arise and war." So this is an order from Allah, to warn people, to call them to Islam. He said to our mother Khadija, "You are the first person I'm calling to this faith. You are the first person I'm calling to this faith." She said to him, "And I am the first to accept. I am the first to accept." Actually, she was the first in many things. She was the first to believe in the Prophet ﷺ. She was the first to recite the Quran after the Prophet. She was the first to learn how to make wudu. She was the first to pray in jama'ah with the Prophet ﷺ. She was the first to be given salam from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrate that the Prophet ﷺ once was sitting with Jibreel. Then Jibreel said to him, "Ya Muhammad, هذه خديجة قد أتتك معها إناء فيه إدام أو طعام أو شراب فإذا هي أتت فاقرأ عليها السلام من ربها ومني وبشرها ببيت في الجنة من قصب لا نصب فيه لا زخب فيه ولا نصب." This Khadija coming to you.
I'm sorry, brother.
This Khadija coming to you with a bowl of soap or drink or food. When she comes to you, give her salam from her Lord and from me, and they gave her the good news of a house in paradise made of pearls, where there will be no anything to tire her or any loud voice to disturb her. Ibn Ishaq says, why did Allah promise Khadija with this place in paradise? Because when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called her to Islam, she didn't do anything to cause the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to be tired or say anything to disturb the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the greatness. This is the greatness of our mother Khadija radiallahu anha. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started to call the people to Islam, he suffered a lot of persecution and was opposed heavily by the Meccan elites, by the believers of Mecca. And during this time, she was the greatest supporter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when Quraysh boycotted the Muslims and isolated them in Sha'b Abi Talib, making them suffer the bitterness of hunger and thirst to the extent of eating the leaves of trees and the skins of dead animals, and some of them actually died of hunger, Khadija radiallahu anha played her part in alleviating the suffering of the Prophet and the suffering of the Muslims. She left her house, which contained all manners of comfort, and went to join them in Sha'b Abi Talib, sharing with them hardship, sharing with them suffering, distress and hunger, and the spending of her wealth to provide the Muslims with as much food as she could during the boycott. Showing by this the greatest example of self-sacrifice, self-denial, strength of faith, loyalty to her beloved husband. The boycott was lifted, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and our mother Khadija departed to enjoy some rest in their house after their long suffering and their long struggle during the boycott. But this was not impossible for them. It was not possible for them to enjoy any kind of rest, because Khadija radiallahu anha became ill, and her illness grew worse. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam felt her pain, remained beside her, supporting her, encouraging her, reminding her of the blessings that Allah promised her in paradise, and the house which made of pearls that Allah promised her in paradise. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued to comfort her, encourage her to be patient until her noble soul departed. The first person to believe in the Messenger of Allah died. The first person to accept the Islam died. Our mother Khadija radiallahu anha went to the grave leaving great sadness, great grief in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this year was called the year of sadness, because the Prophet lost two of his greatest supporters, Khadija radiallahu anha, his wife, and his uncle Abu Talib. And the Muslims suffered a lot after their death, especially after the death of Khadija, and the da'wah slowed down. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله العلي العظيم لي ولكم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. The death of our mother Khadija left a void in the heart of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, left a void in the life of the Prophet, a void that could not be filled by any other woman. Khadija radiallahu anha had a special place in the heart of the Prophet. Frequently, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says good thing about her, acknowledging her virtues, and says how she supported him at the start of the mission. The loyalty of the Prophet towards our mother Khadija was unique and matchless Aisha radiallahu anha I didn't feel jealousy towards any of the Prophet's wives as I did towards Khadija. I didn't see her, but the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would mention her. And sometimes he would slaughter a sheep and cut it up and send the portion, send the meat to the friends of Khadija. Upon which I would say, it is as if there is no one in the world besides Khadija. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, she was such and such and such and such, mentioning her virtues, adding, and she bore me children. Aisha also, radiallahu anha, said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to mention Khadija all the time. No one day would pass without mentioning Khadija. And one day he mentioned her and praised her highly. I was overcome by jealousy and said to him, was she anything more than an old woman? And Allah has given you a better one in her place. The Prophet ﷺ, upon hearing this, became extremely angry and said to her, لا والله ما أبدلني الله خيرا منها آمنت بي إذ كفر الناس وصدقتني إذ كذبني الناس وواتتني في مالها إذ حرمني الناس ورزقني الله منها أولادا وقد حرمني أولاد النساء. No, by Allah, Allah has not given me better one in her place. She believed in me when people disbelieved. She believed in me when people plied me. She shared her wealth with me when people prevented me, and Allah blessed me with the children from her while other women didn't give me any. Khadija said to herself, I will never say anything bad about Aisha, I'm sorry, said to herself, I will never say anything bad about Khadija radiallahu anha. Once an old woman came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet met this woman with a smiling face. He treated her very, very generously. He paid her a great attention. Aisha radiallahu anha wondered why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was treating this woman this way. She realized that this old woman was a friend of Khadija. This is the loyalty of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And once, Hala bint Khuwaylid, this was the sister of Khadija, radiallahu anha, and she embraced Islam and migrated to Medina. She came to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and before entering the house, she said, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad, Ya Muhammad. Aisha said, upon hearing the voice of Hala, the Prophet's face was changing. Why? Because the voice of Hala resembled that of Khadija. And the Prophet remembered Khadija, his first love, and was affected by. The high esteem in which the Prophet ﷺ held our mother Khadija is confirmed by the fact that he considered her along with the Mary, the mother of Jesus alayhi salam, considered them the best women of the world. He, Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, narrated that the Prophet said, خَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا مَرْيَمُ وَخَيْرُ نِسَائِهَا خَدِيجَةُ. The best woman of her time, Mary. And the best woman of her time is Khadija. And some scholars said that this hadith means the best women in paradise are Mary and Khadija. In conclusion, dear brothers and sisters in Islam, it is through the wonderful example of the mothers of the believers we can reach a correct and balanced understanding when we approach issues such as building an Islamic family, social life, working, parenting, and raising the children. But most importantly, it provides a clear and dynamic portrait for the role of the Muslim women in the Islamic world. Muslim sisters should know how devoted our mother Khadija to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how affectionate wife with how she was an affectionate wife with kind heart and open hand. Any Muslim of today should be proud to have such a mother. And the world could be changed by great Muslim women such as Khadija radiallahu anha. I'm going to supplicate Allah, raise your hands and say Ameen. Allahumma innana nas'aluka imanan la yartad, wa na'iman la yanfad, wa qurrata aynin la tanqata, wa ladhata an-nazar ila wajhika al-kareem, wa murafaqata nabiyika Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam fi jannati an-na'im. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم إننا نسألك الجنة ونعوذ بك من النار. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا واجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم صل وسلم وزد وبارك على نبينا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. واقم الصلاة.